This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. I'm going to talk about mass deportation, something I'm getting hopeful about. A potential Democrat nominee for 2028 has emerged. We'll talk about that. Marco Rubio's doing some good things. Really, really been impressed with Rubio. All that, emails, and so much more coming up this final hour of the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. And don't forget, you can email the show, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Now, I need to set up how I'm starting to get hopeful. Starting, I didn't say I was super hopeful, but starting to get more hopeful than I have been about mass deportation. But I need to give a little backstory on how I feel about things. So just bear with me for a moment. During COVID, if you've listened to the show for long enough, you remember, but during COVID, I was very, very frustrated, very, very angry, not just with Republican politicians, not just with Democrat politicians, not just with the media, not just with the doctors, not just with the everything. I got very, very frustrated and angry with the American people. I got frustrated with the American people because I was stunned, and I still remain stunned to this day, at how quickly Americans would willingly hand over their freedom because of fear. Now, you probably echo that. You probably felt the exact same way. So I don't want to act like I was the only one, but I love Americans. You know this. I hate our government. I despise this evil, corrupt government, but Americans are my people. I love them. And I was so disappointed. You know what? I sound like a father, but I guess that's really probably the best way to describe it. I was so disappointed in my people allowing some quack doctor or whoever it may be to stand 6 feet away from everybody. That's the stupidest freaking thing I've ever heard in my life. Put on a cloth mask for a microscopic virus. We closed down the outdoor basketball courts. I was so disappointed at how many people fell for the largest propaganda campaign in history. In their defense, it was the largest propaganda campaign in world history. Financially, it was just nothing else came close to it. But still, I was mortified by that. I was mortified when 15 days to slow the spread was brought up. You remember, if you were listening, you remember, I freaked. I said, wait, what? Don't shut down your economy on purpose, ever. If it's the bubonic plague, you don't shut down your economy. And yet, so many people were okay with it. Just went along with it. Well, I mean, we have to be safe. Bah, bah, bah. I was so disappointed. And from that, I got to a place, and I've been in a place, and I still, to be honest, am kind of there, where I think the American people are extremely susceptible, gullible, if you will. Gullible, susceptible to propaganda. That's where I came up with the sky is green theory. It was during all that mess. For you new listeners, just briefly, the sky is green theory is something I've talked about many times before on the show. It's the thinking that you can take something that's obvious in our society, that we are so broken down and demoralized that you can take something that's obviously a lie and get half the country to believe it's true. You can, if the system woke up tomorrow and wanted people to believe the sky is green, they would do exactly what they did during COVID. They would find scientists who were mostly paid off, who would come on television and say the sky is green. The media would run segment after segment, the sky is green. Hollywood would produce movies and they'd CGI the sky green. Sky is green, sky is green, sky is green, over and over and over again. They'd be teaching it in schools. And soon, even though you can look up in the sky and see it's blue, half this country would say, nope, it's green. That's how susceptible to propaganda I think this population has been. Now, going forward, I'll tell you why I'm hopeful. You know that I've been skeptical, extremely skeptical about mass deportation. And not skeptical that Trump and his people will try to do it. I knew that was going to be the plan because they never backed off it, even after the primary. That's normally one of those issues where you'd run on it in the primary if you're a Republican, but then you'd back off it in the general. Well, no, no, we'll just deport some of them. Trump never backed off it. Never backed off it at all. And after he won the general, he's gotten more hardcore on the whole thing. But I've been very skeptical that the American people would withstand it. I assumed that they would see too many videos of crying Lupe and that the media, the globalist communists everywhere, really more than the media, the people who want the country destroyed by foreign barbarians, that they would run a bigger propaganda campaign than the one they ran during COVID, and that the American people would break. And they would start to say, you know what? No, we can't do this. We've deported too many. We got some. That's enough. Just get the gangbangers. Let's leave everyone else. I saw a crying child. We have to stop this. I assumed the American people would simply break again in the face of that kind of propaganda. And I'm not going back on that assumption because it may still turn out to be so. After all, the deportations began, honestly, like 4 hours ago. So they just started. However, I have seen over and over and over again attempts by the media already to get people to back off and break from mass deportations. And so far, I have not seen anyone break. The Washington Post, they already ran with it on social media. They went down across the border and they found some woman who was fake crying on camera. Oh my gosh, I can't get to my baby. There's some illegal trying to come into our country. And they blasted that video everywhere. It didn't move the needle even one little bit. You see Tom Homan still on the news. All
when
in.
Can we expect that to happen? Where will it begin?
No, it started.
It started.
ICE teams are out there as of today. We gave them the direction to prioritize public safety threats that we're looking for. So we've been working up the target list. There was some discussion about Chicago because the specific operational plan was released. So we had to look at and reevaluate. Does this raise officer safety concerns? And it does. Mm-hmm. But we've addressed that, and teams are out there effective today.
Today, we're coming. How much pushback have you seen? The media is trying. They're already starting to run stories. We can't do this. How could we do this? They're trying the best they can to start up another propaganda campaign. Democrat senators, Democrat House members, people in blue states, California. You've seen Denver's mayor come out and say, no, you can't take our illegals. We love them. Free pupusas for everybody. But the American public, not talking about the communists themselves, the American public so far does not appear at all to be shaken by this. I will say it is just starting. It is just starting. Ask me again in a week. Ask me again in a month, because don't think deporting 20, 30, 40 million people is going to be, you know, a couple day affair. This is going to be a long, long process to root out this many people from our society and send them home. Plus, you even have to work out, this is another mountain the Trump administration has to climb. You have to have a place to send them back to. You know, it's easy for you, me to just say, send them back. Well, you have to get the country to accept them back. Unless your plan is to just fly overhead and attach a parachute to them and shove them out the door, which actually doesn't sound that bad. But unless that's your plan, then you have to get the country to accept them. And some countries will. India came out. India already said, hey, I know you've got a bunch of Indians over there, a bunch of Indian illegals. We're going to help you with it. India, to help deport all its citizens that are living in the U.S. illegally. They think it's like 18,000 of them or something like that. So there are some countries who will help, but many countries will not. Important countries. So we already have mountains to climb. And it's going to be a long process. And there will be a ton of articles and news feeds. And oh my gosh, look at crying Maria. Her and her six children are now homeless. They must go back to Honduras. But so far, with all the rhetoric, all the open threats of deportation, so far, I haven't seen so much as a crack in the American people's resolve. Maybe COVID grew us all up a little bit, hardened us a bit. All right, I'm going to talk a little bit about why that may be next.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, a wonderful Tuesday. And in case you're just now joining us, I'm talking about why I'm starting to get a little bit hopeful that the American people will be able to withstand the propaganda that is going to come down and is already coming down to try to stop mass deportation. I think part of the reason we're holding strong so far is the media, the system, they really did sell out the last of their credibility during COVID. During Trump's first 4 years and COVID, they unloaded every bit of credibility they had left. And now the American media, I don't think they can create something out of nothing anymore. Where they could for the longest time, they could simply tell you that water wasn't wet. And then if they got enough pieces of the system to push it, they could get people to believe that. I don't know. What, Chris? What? And Chris said he's still got a lot of morons out there. Well, yeah, I'm talking about on a macro level, the nation as a whole. You've actually seen this, if you've been paying attention at all, with this, quote, Nazi salute from Elon Musk. Now, again, you can say it was on camera. But Elon Musk did not give a Nazi salute. He was giving a speech. This is what victory feels like, is what he said. And then he said, I just want to say thank you for making it happen. Thank you from my heart to yours. And so he kind of grabbed his heart with his hand and kind of did that thing where he threw it out to the crowd. And without sound or something like that, you might look and think, oh, that looked odd. But when you're listening to it, which, again, it was on camera, that was obvious. It was an obvious lie. And the media and Democrat politicians, which, of course, are the same thing, they've tried the best they can to run with the lie. Shoot, Senator Murphy even asked Elise Stefanik about it
today.
What
do you think of Elon Musk, perhaps the president's most visible advisor, doing two Heil Hitler salutes last night at the president's televised rally?
No, Elon Musk did not do those salutes. I was not at the rally, but I can tell you I've been at many rallies with Elon Musk, who loves to cheer when President Trump says we need to send our U.S. space program to Mars. Elon Musk is a visionary. I'm looking forward to his work in DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, and look forward to looking how we can be more efficient and effective. But that is simply not the case. And to say so is the American people are smart. They see through it. They support Elon Musk. We are proud to be the country of such successful entrepreneurs. That is why.
Yeah, she shot him down on that. But the media has tried to run with it as hard as they possibly can. Multiple news outlets have said, Nazi salute, Nazi salute. I saw PBS said Elon did a Nazi salute. Yet, it's not getting any traction. It doesn't have wheels. It doesn't have legs, if you will. Maybe we have passed the point where the American people will simply believe whatever the latest propaganda thing is. Because the communist could not control his demonic urges and he pushed things too far, now they can't do what they used to be able to do. And I know, again, like I said, you might be sitting there saying, well, yeah, this one didn't have legs because it's on camera. Really? Did your liberal Aunt Peggy ever believe Donald Trump said Nazis were very fine people? Because that was on camera. There was video of that. Did your liberal Aunt Peggy Did she ever say Donald Trump told people to inject bleach? Because what Donald Trump said was also on camera. The gigantic hoaxes that people, especially on the left, have believed in the past, they were also on camera with sound, easily refutable, easily refutable. And yet the American people, a large enough portion of them, still believed it. So why isn't it working anymore? Because you only have so much credibility. If I tell my sons, even when they were young, when they were, let's go, 5 years old, and I told my sons, hey, go lift up that couch cushion. I left a half dollar in there for you. And they go lift up the couch cushion and there's no half dollar. How many times can I do that? Well, I don't know the exact number, but even for a five-year-old, there's a limit. At some point in time, they're going to say, no, you've lost all credibility. You kept lying, and now we simply don't listen at all when you speak. Maybe that's what's happened already to the American people, and maybe that's why the propaganda campaign to stop mass deportation, if it does fail, maybe that's why it will fail, because the American people are done with it. It's like these confirmation hearings are actually a really good example of it. Pete Hegseth has all these ridiculous accusations being thrown at him right now, and they're not moving the needle. And because they're not moving the needle with the American people, they're not moving the needle with our gutless coward politicians who are followers, not leaders. The GOP senators really aren't breaking with any of this stuff. But why aren't these accusations moving the needle with the American people? Because we watch those savages call Brett Kavanaugh a serial gang rapist because of the testimony of a woman who may not have even ever met him. And the American people saw it, and now it doesn't work anymore. Maybe, just maybe, they really did empty all their credibility out and there's nothing left. Let's hope so. Or maybe just more people are on Chalk. When you're taking your natural herbal supplements from Chalk, your mind works better and you can see through propaganda. Maybe that's why I never bought into any of the COVID stuff. I've been on a male vitality stack for 3 years. Maybe that's why I see things so clearly. My T levels are so freaking high, I'm almost superhuman by this point in time. You want a 20% increase in your testosterone levels in 90 days? Ladies, you want to be full of energy, feeling good? Chalk has natural herbal supplements, the best quality I've ever seen. They are hardcore anti-communists at Chalk, and they're not apologetic about it, which I freaking love. They have subscriptions for this stuff, which will save you a ton of money. Get a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack. Take it for 90 days. If you don't feel better, cancel. They don't give you a hard time either. Just click cancel it. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Subscriptions cancelable at any time. Let's do some emails next.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. That's right, Johnny Cash. The writers are coming hard. Speaking of which, we should hear from Kamala Harris. She checked in with the Los Angeles Fire Department, and wow, how profound.
Strangers who, in the face of that stranger, they see a neighbor. These are folks who understand the strength and the value of community, which is everyone coming together with a shared sense of purpose and identity as a community of people. And I wanted to come by, most importantly, to thank them, those who have volunteered and have brought people together and have sacrificed so much, and our firefighters. And I mentioned to these firefighters the fact that California firefighters, time and time again, prove themselves to be the best.
Chris said he hopes she runs again. Dude, that woman's running for something again. She's going to run for California governor and or she's going to run for president again. And you think it was embarrassing to get handed $1.5 billion and get handed the nomination and get crushed? Think for a moment how embarrassing it would be to go from being the Democrat nominee to getting blown out in a Democrat primary, and she probably would. How hilarious is that? Now, there is a name that's been floated out there. Little birdie whispered in my ear that Jamie Dimon is considering running for president as a Democrat. Jamie Dimon. Just put that in your back pocket.
But I'm not hearing you say there's something wrong here, that there are these billionaires are growing like poppy. And, I mean, what is it, the tax laws?
If I was king for a day, I would probably change a bunch of the tax laws, too, which I'm not going to give you specifics on. It won't reduce it as much as you seem to think it should be reduced.
No, but I'm interested that you're not saying this is wrong. This is not working.
I think the wrong part is that the bottom 30% didn't do better, not that the top 0.1% did so well.
Why not? What's wrong with saying that?
They may be unrelated.
Sure talks like a man who might be running for office. Listen to the vagaries. Listen to the, sure talks like it. Anyway, something to keep in mind. Oh, and before I get to the emails, I wanted to play this because everyone's been screaming about it today. Trump, Melania, Vance, his wife, all that, the whole gang went to the National Prayer Service today. And at the National Prayer Service, there was some female bishop. I'm serious. Anyway, there was a female bishop up there. Of course, card-carrying lesbian, as everybody can tell. And she chose to use this opportunity to say this in front of Trump.
In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families, some who fear for their lives. And the people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meatpacking plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation, but the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals. They pay taxes and are good neighbors. They are faithful members of our churches and mosques, synagogues, wadara, and temples. I ask you to have mercy, Mr. President, on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away.
There's been a lot of screaming at that woman today. So I'm not going to bother screaming. I'm just going to explain that the communist does not serve two gods. Ah, but she's a bishop. She's not a bishop. She's a communist. Oh, but the Pope came out again. The Pope is not a Pope. He's a communist. You cannot serve communism while also practicing any other religion, ever. Communism is a religion of domination and destruction, and it does not share space with any other religion. There is a reason. Communists, whenever they take power, they will attack and in most cases flat out remove whatever the organized religion is in the country they have taken over. In the Soviet Union, it was the Orthodox churches. In Chairman Mao's China, it was the Buddhist temples and Taoism and things like that. In Cambodia, same thing. In America's communists are no different. The difference is here in America is some of our communists have thrown on a priest's robes or a pastor's skinny jeans or whatever it is, and then they'll preach communism from the pulpit, and people will look around and wonder why. I don't get it. He's a priest. He's not a priest. He's a communist. He's a communist pretending to be a priest. She serves a different religion, a false evil religion. Remember that. Jesse, with regards to illegal immigration, my question is, what is motivating people from vastly different cultures into coming here? Well, one, I think we underestimate, to even ask that question, I'm not insulting you at all, but to even ask that question, we are underestimating how blessed we are to be in America. There are places, we used to, I've told you this a long time ago, but we did some training in Thailand, and I could tell you stories from all over places, Iraq and whatnot, but we were doing jungle warfare training in Thailand. I think they still do it. It's called Cobra Gold. But we were on our trucks. We were on the back of trucks, and we were driving out into the Netherlands of the hinterlands of Thailand, the Netherlands. Not Netherlands, doesn't make sense. The hinterlands of Thailand. We're driving out to the jungle. We're in the countryside. We're outside of the cities. And we drove by this hut that was in the middle of nowhere. And it was a family living in this tiny little hut, smaller than this studio room I'm sitting in right now. It was minuscule. And young child was in the yard playing with, I think it was a bucket, if I remember right. And that was obviously the child's only toy. Clearly, the entire family slept in this hut. I mean, running water, be serious. There's no running water. There's no electricity. Think about that family. Because we did. When we thought about that family, we said to ourselves, wouldn't it be the greatest act of cruelty in the world to take that child for one day, bring him back to America, show him the candy stores, take him to Disney World, and then bring him right back to Thailand and set him down there? It would be unimaginably cruel because the child will have figured out that there is a world of prosperity and plenty and blessing out there that that child will never, ever, ever know about, ever. Here in America, we lose sight of how blessed we are. Let me ask you this. When you turn on the lights, do they come on? You take that for granted every day. I know you do. I do. I'm pointing fingers at me. I definitely do. I just did it when I walked in the studio today. I walked in and I walked over to the light switch and beep, flipped it up and the lights came on. I didn't even give it a second thought. There are places around the globe with power grids that sometimes simply don't work. And when you walk up to the light switch, you're doing the old fingers crossed thing. Knock on wood. Let's hope we have power. And when you lose power, it's not like here in America. Oh, the power's out? Ah, a tree must have fallen on a power line. Give them a couple hours, they'll have her back up. Days without juice. Of course people want to come here. Doesn't mean they should be allowed to, but who the heck wouldn't want to come here? You can come here and live like one of the poor and live way better than you do anywhere else. You want to see something horrific? This is something you can look up. This is fine for kids, too. Look up favela, a Brazilian favela. It sounds wonderful, I know. It's one of those words that sounds great, but go look up Brazilian favela. Just do an internet search. That's how people live. Why do they want to come here? Wait, think about this. If you're in a favela, you probably don't have the power to power your obliterator blender that you got from Chefman. And look, Chefman is so affordable. Even if you're in a favela, you could afford one. You just don't have the electricity to run the thing. And in all seriousness, you know, you don't even have to worry about what setting to put on the obliterator, the greatest blender ever. You just put it on. It has auto sense technology. There's no guesswork. It'll figure it out automatically. You're making soup, you're making a smoothie, whatever you're doing, it's there. You want to crush up some ice? It's there. It's won design awards. It looks so good. And it doesn't cost hundreds of freaking dollars. They sell it in Walmart. It's for everybody. Go get the obliterator. Chefman.com. 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 Get your obliterator today. We shall return.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, but we shall return tomorrow for Hump Day. And don't forget, you can send us emails, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. A couple things I haven't got to that I've been meaning to get to. Bill Gates sat down with Donald Trump. I don't like that.
I spoke a lot about HIV and that the foundation's literally working on a cure for that. We're at an early stage. And so, you know, he, in the COVID days, accelerated the vaccine innovation. So I, you know, was asking him if maybe the same kind of thing could be done here. And we both got, I think, pretty excited about that. We talked about polio. You know, we're very close to getting that done. But if you stop, it'll spread back. And so I explained why it's been tough in Pakistan, Afghanistan. We've had cases show up in Gaza. We have cases in Africa.
I know they're all kissing the ring. I really wish Donald Trump would not devote 3 hours to that world-class piece of trash. But it is what it is. I assume he's savvy enough to realize that's not a friend. Also, I think Kash Patel, I know he has his work cut out for him. His confirmation hearing is scheduled for the 29th, in case you're wondering. You heard what Steve Friend said earlier in the show. Kash Patel needs to get in the FBI in a hurry because the Cheka is moving to make sure they are protected from him. But man, does this sound like the kind of guy who's ready to do what's necessary?
Liz Cheney and Cassidy Hutchinson have been caught doing the same thing. We have been testifying for 3 years now, including on your show, grand juries and elsewhere, that Donald Trump ordered 10,000+ National Guardsmen and women days before January 6th. And the one transcript from Tony Ornato, a career Secret Service officer who testified 2 years ago corroborating all of that information to be true, was wormholed by Liz Cheney. It turns out that the lies Cassidy Hutchinson and she produced are the Steele dossier of January 6th, and they used the same modus operandi to deprive the American people of the truth. There needs to be some serious congressional action. Liz Cheney isn't in Congress anymore. Somebody should be subpoenaing her tomorrow to ask her what other information of innocence she withheld, because this was singularly the insurrection exoneration of Donald Trump, and Liz Cheney put it in her nuclear football and tried to bury it.
Kash Patel sounds like the right man for the job. Man, do we need him there in a hurry. Also, Justin Trudeau, in response to Trump's threats about tariffs, it just doesn't sound very stern coming from him.
Of course, if the president does choose to proceed with tariffs on Canada, Canada will respond. And everything is on the table. Working in unison with Team Canada, as Team Canada, with business leaders, organized labor, civil society, Indigenous leaders, and premiers from coast to coast to coast, we are prepared for every possible scenario.
Yeah, no, they're not. The truth is, if Trump pushes these tariffs forward, it will shatter Canada, and I don't like that. But Canada, the ball's in their court. I don't root against Canada. I love Canadian people. I love Canada itself. Well, the rural people. I hate these dirty leftist scumbags like Trudeau, but most Canadians are wonderful. I don't want them to be hurt. They're going to be hurt if Canada doesn't choose to renegotiate things. But this goes back to what we were talking about in the very first hour. The way things have always been, the accepted way things have always been. Everyone just wants them to keep on going that way. Canada, giving us the ultimate screw job when it comes to trade, is just kind of one of those things everyone's always accepted. Republicans, Democrats, oh, ha, 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 they got one over on us. Nobody wants to change those things. Marco Rubio out there, he's calling for the revocation, it's a great word, of visas of Hamas lovers. And people were screaming about that. How can you, what do you mean, how can you? You should be revoking people's visas if they spit on the sidewalk and you don't like it. You don't have a right to be here. If you're allowed to have a visa, model, I know you're not a citizen, but you know what I'm saying. Model citizen doesn't put into words what you should do. You should go to work, and when you go home, go volunteer at a charity for 2 hours a day in the hopes that your visa isn't revoked. That's how it should be. It's a privilege to be here. And it's a privilege to tell you about Relief Factor, because it can take the pain out of your life. Did you know that? That you don't have to live with pain? That's a lie people believe. They believe, well, my foot's just always going to hurt. My elbow's always going to hurt. My shoulders bother me. My back bothers me. Stop masking it. Stop taking things to mask it. That's horrible for you. And stop ignoring it. You don't have to do that any longer. Relief Factor is a drug-free supplement. You take it every day. It builds up in your body. I'd say 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you'll know. Wow, this stuff is amazing. You realize almost everyone calls to order more? You try it for 3 weeks for $19.95. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. All right? Relieffactor.com, 1-800-4-RELIEF. You're a phone call away from being pain-free.
And now...
Here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Syria's new leader says Trump to bring peace to the Middle East. I don't know if Syria's new leader is going to be the biggest Trump fan after a little while, but we shall see. Trump's climate retreat will have a significant impact on COP30, according to Brazil. Retreat, what they're talking about is Trump backing out of the Paris Climate Agreement. And what they're talking about is without America propping up the rest of the world on this climate commie garbage, the climate commie garbage comes apart on everybody. Once again, the American taxpayer is forced to fund not just communism locally, communism around the globe. Day one, Trump reverses Biden's attacks on everything from drilling to dishwashers. I had almost forgotten that those dirty, I almost said something bad, in the Biden administration even went after people's dishwashers. Are our wives not sacred? Peeing is contagious among chimps. Yes, they pee together, just like women do. All kinds of things love drugs. Police said rats break into the evidence room to steal drugs. Rats are the most vicious savages in the world. But don't worry, if you guys need some help, you can give me a call. Senate confirms Rubio 9-9 on a 99-0 vote. Let's hope Rubio does a good job. I have been pleasantly surprised with what I have seen so far. Now, you go enjoy the rest of your evening. I will join you again tomorrow. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.